We are going to finish the events of Easter week. There's one more event that happens. That's 8 days later when Thomas finally sees the resurrected Christ. But Thomas isn't here tonight, okay? And so we're going to look at the disciples. We saw them this morning as the reluctant witnesses. They were not there. They should have been there. They knew God's word. They knew God's word. They had seen Christ in action. They had seen his power. They had seen him heal. And they should have been the first watching the tomb on resurrection morning, but they weren't there. So we're going to look at what the disciples were doing that evening. In verses 19 through 23 of John chapter 20, the Bible says this. It says, then the same day we've been talking about this morning, we're in the evening. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. We talked about this morning. Their last experience with Christ was with soldiers in the garden, watching him get crucified, everybody running away, and they thought they were next. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. He wasn't a ghost. He was the real deal. Christ in the flesh. The resurrected Christ in the flesh. Then were the disciples what? Glad. Won't you be glad when you see Jesus?
Amen.
You know, everything will make sense when we see Christ. It says, when they saw the Lord, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. There's four things that the disciples needed tonight. There's a lot of us that have broken lives. There's a lot of us that have things going out of kilter in our lives. And we need God, and we need his peace and his stability to help us. And so we're talking about the disciples that were scared. They were scared. They were behind locked doors because they didn't know who was on the outside. They had heard the account of the women. Peter and John had come back and said, yep, the stone's rolled away. Yep, the tomb is empty. Yep, the clothes are there. Christ must have arose, but they still did not know for sure. Folks, we like to know things for sure, don't we?
Amen.
The uncertainty of not knowing just drives some people nuts. And you keep on doing it. However, with Christ, ye may know this. Christ knows our needs. And in this case, he came to them specifically and met their needs. We talked about this morning that the disciples should have known. This was the third day. The women should have known. This was the third day. The whole nation of Israel should have known. We've been going through the life of Christ in the book of Matthew. But after Christ was tempted in the wilderness, he went to Galilee and he went to the synagogue and he started to do ministry. And here's something. Oh, before that, I'll just read you Isaiah chapter 61. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. God wants to change us. When he started his ministry, he's in the synagogue. He opens the scripture, and he would read the scripture. And in verse 15 of Luke chapter 4, let's hear something over again. It says, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. It just happened to be opened to 61, chapter 61, or Christ went there. Okay? It says, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Do you see the contrast? Being bruised and being in prison and being brokenhearted and being all those are things that we go through in our lives every day. There are people out there hurting. And what does Christ read? He reads God's word. He says, I am the fulfillment of this promise. I'll give you the opposite because I'm God. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day, this scripture, is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? And we're reading about it now. See, Christ came to fulfill all your needs.
Amen.
For his Father's glory. He did that because his Father loves us so much that he sent his Son to fulfill God's plan.
Amen.
Hudson Taylor, missionary to China, kind of talked about, in some of his sermons he talked about, we need to exchange. We need to exchange beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for suffering, for mourning. We need to exchange these things. The Bible says we're supposed to cast all of our cares on him, for he careth for you. It says God is not looking for men of great faith. He is looking for common men to trust his great faithfulness. See, we need to trust God for who he was. See, the disciples locked up. They don't trust anybody right now. They saw one of their own betray Christ. And they were really confused and perplexed. They were locked up. But God's going to set them free. Christ knew that, and he's going to set them free. In verse 19, he says, I'm going to trade your fear for peace. I'm going to trade your fear for peace. The very first words spoken when Christ appears in this room is, peace be unto you. See, when we turn to Christ, we go from being at war with God to being at peace with God. We need to get that through our head. He is our peace. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22 says this, "And you, all of us, that were sometime alienated and enemies in what? Your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he what? Reconciled." And reconciled means to be at peace. When two parties reconcile in an argument, they settle it. And it's at peace. In the body of his flesh through what? Death. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Amen. Now we sang some songs tonight that work right down that path. Take time to be holy. Folks, we're supposed to conform to his image. Christ was holy. He says, "Be ye holy even as I am holy." We're supposed to be blameless, unblameable. People shouldn't be able to point an accusation at us. That takes a lot of effort because there's a lot of people trying to find fault. They found fault with Christ. And he says, look, he says, hey, persecute me, they're going to persecute you. He says, in this world ye shall have what? You'll have trouble. You'll have tribulation. But he says, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Are we unreprovable in his sight? We need to check ourselves daily, look in the mirror of God's word, and see if we are truly at peace with God. Peace with God means that you're on the same page. Peace with God means you have the mind of Christ. Peace with God is going the same direction. Amos says this, how can two walk together except they be what? Be agreed. Be agreed. So, when we turn to Christ, we go from being at war with God to being at peace with God. Here's an example of something that was changed. Back in 1877, the seal of the office of the President of the United States was made so that the eagle was looking at the arrows. But in 1945, Harry S. Truman, by executive order, said, we need to have the eagle facing the olive branch. See, the arrows mean war, but the olive branch means peace. And see, we need a changed seal in our lives. Our lives need to be being changed from being at war with God to being at peace with Him. It's not about me. It's all for you. See, we need a changed life. We need a changed life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, the verse says this. It says, "And the peace of God, which what? Passeth all understanding, and that includes you." You can't figure God out. Stop trying. If someone comes and tells you, hey, I understand this, is it in agreement with God's word? That's where we find out the mind of Christ. He says, "In the peace of God, which passeth what? How much understanding? All. Mine, yours, ours, collectively. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ and keep them at peace." Are you at peace with God today? You will be at peace. The only way you can be at peace with God is first to have a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Understanding that He died for your sins. Understanding that He paid the penalty for you. That He rose again. And that He offers forgiveness of sins and offers the free gift of salvation to all who will take it. That's how you have peace. And then from that point forward, it's just being conformed to His image. That's having peace because you're walking agreed with Him. So He gets in the middle of the room, and the very first words Christ says, it says they were glad. They were glad. Peace be unto you. God's offering His peace to you tonight if you will accept it. If you will accept it. You know, when we think of peace, you could think of a painter painting a picture of a lake, and the water is perfectly calm, and it reflects everything. And you say, well, that's true serenity. That's truly a picture of peace because it's calm. No, that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is the peace that comes in the time of storm. When all the water's coming in and all the waves are crashing down and everything else, He hides us in the cleft of a rock and says, you're safe. Even though everything around you is chaos, you're safe. Amen. That's the peace that passeth understanding. Can you imagine the disciples in that locked room, what was going through their minds? They thought they were the next to go. They thought they were basically dead men. And God comes and says, fear not, peace be unto you. If God can give peace to them, He can give peace to us.
Amen.
We just have to accept it. So they had fear, and God gave them peace. He says, give me your sorrow and I'll turn it into joy. It says in our passage, it says, when Christ was in the room, they saw His hands and they saw His side, and they were what? Glad. They were glad. Someone once said this. It said, joy is not the absence of suffering, but the presence of God. That's pretty profound. That's pretty profound. Joy is not the absence, wow, of suffering, but the presence of God. You know, here's some promises. You might want to write these down, but these are promises of the joy that God will give us. These make great memory verses. These make great life verses. In John chapter 16, verse 22, He tells His disciples, says, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. This is before He went to Calvary. And your heart shall rejoice. It's rejoicing tonight as Christ appears in the room. Your heart ought to rejoice tonight because we're in the presence of God here in His house.
Amen.
And your joy, look at this promise. And your joy no man taketh from you. You know, our salvation is secure in Christ. No man can pluck us out of His hand. Our joy is secure in Christ. No man can take it. You know how we get rid of joy? We do it. We allow situations to happen. We let things get into us and get us discouraged. We allow Satan to come and hit us. It says, your joy, no man taketh from you. What a promise. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy on what? Unspeakable and full of glory. See, we're supposed to have joy running over. Unspeakable. Just like, and when God gives us something, it's peace that passeth understanding. It's joy that's unspeakable. It's full. It's full of glory. It's running over. Do you have that? Do you want that? Seek Him. Seek Him. John chapter 10, verse 10. Christ is telling the crowd about Satan. He says, the thief, He's talking about the sheep. He says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Satan wants to kill your joy. Satan wants to steal your joy. Satan wants to basically destroy you. He can't have your soul, but he can sure wreck your life down here on earth. But Christ promised this. I am come. I'm a rose. He's a rose. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it how much? More abundantly. When you get into the Christian walk, you always find this thing like always abounding, more abundantly, full, passive understanding, all these superlative things. Folks, we're a peculiar people. God loves us. That's superlative enough, isn't it? You're a child. You're the son of God and a daughter of God. Joint heirs with Christ. Amen. Joint heirs with Christ. We have a hope that people that do not know God doesn't have. That should cast out fear. That should give us joy. Christ promises. Another one wrote, when it comes to joy, you have a choice. You could be the devil's victim or Christ's victor. So which is it tonight? Are you going to be a drive-by for Satan tonight? Or are you going to be Christ's victor? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. There is nothing that can separate me from the love of Christ. We are more than overcomers through him that loved us, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Do you have sorrow? He's going to give you the joy, the oil, the oil of joy for mourning and for sorrow. You need an exchange tonight. Let's get some of God's joy. In Austria, there's a little town called Feldkirch. And in March of 1799, Napoleon had one of his generals say, I need you to go down and take this town. And they had fought, and the war and the battle wasn't going too well. They'd been defeated. The Austrians had been defeated before. And they were talking about how to set up the defenses. And everybody, all the men of the city, all the leaders of the city were setting up their defenses. And the pastor of the church there said, it's Easter Sunday. We have God that's going to fight for us. And they were so happy that they started ringing their church bells. Now, church bells can be heard from a long way away. And those church bells were heard in the French camp. And they thought that the bells were announcing that Austrian reinforcements were coming. And they left off the battle and left the city intact. Folks, when we're surrounded by the enemy, we need to ring our bells of joy. We need to turn in sorrow for joy and let God work for us. See, joy for us is an issue of focus. God's already done the work. We need to be focused on Him. So the first thing he tells the disciples, he says, look, peace be unto you. The next thing he goes, he says, see me. And they were what? They were glad. And then in verses 21 and 23, he says, you have a purpose. You have a purpose. And it says, peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. Verse 23 says, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. He says, it's time to get busy. It's time to get busy. See, the disciples said, hey, you're all locked up in here tonight for fear of the Jews. But I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you joy. And also that, I'm telling you what you need to be doing right now. You don't know what you're doing right now. You don't even know what's going to happen here. I'm going to give you a purpose. See, God's given us all purpose. Let your light so shine before men that they raise what? See your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. See, living with a sense of divine purpose enables one to reach their full potential. And when we're talking about full potential, not the way we think, but the way that God thinks about us. Because He gives us peace that passeth understanding. He gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory. He gives us something that's bigger than us. Remember when He commissioned the disciples? We talked one of the points was, be more than you are right now. Be more than you are right now. Here's a great quote from a book called Repacking Your Bags. A purpose is not a goal. A goal is something that can be reached. A purpose is never achieved. It exists before you and lives on after you're gone. Purpose is a direction like west. No matter how far you go, there's still more west to travel. You use purpose to set your course in life. It's the quality around which you center yourself. And folks, we need to make God our purpose. God's not our goal. He's already given us all this. Our purpose is to work for Him. Our purpose is to love Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. You keep on saying that. Yeah? And we'll keep on saying it until we finally believe it. Until we finally get to the point that we start living it. Folks, God's given us a purpose. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That comes right after the salvation message, the salvation verses in Ephesians chapter 2. So where's your purpose? You don't need to go read a book about purpose. You need to pick up God's word and hide it in your heart. And let it be a light unto your path. And pray to Him. And ask God, what do you want me to do? He'll tell you. Amen. And then look around for opportunities to serve. That gives you purpose. Tell you what. If you sit around idle, we hear that the idle mind is Satan's workshop. That's true. When you were a kid, when you got bored and you had nothing to do, that's when you got in trouble, wasn't it? But when you had a set direction for the day, you didn't get in trouble. You know why? Because you were too busy doing other things. Folks, we need to get busy for God. He says here in verse 23, he says, and whatsoever sins ye remit, okay? I'm going to give you a little bit of thing of what this really means. We are sent out from God with God's purpose, based on His authority. There's two other verses here. It says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. If you're living for God, you're doing what God's will is. And when you're doing God's will, He says, if you ask anything in my name, I'll what? Do it. You don't have to worry about what you need to do. Just put Him first. And you'll have purpose. And you'll have His authority. And His word will work. You don't have to think about it. You just have to do it. Right. You just have to do it. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. God's not given us any authority beyond His word. But I can tell you what we can do. You come and you ask me a question. I'll open up God's word. I say, based on the authority of God's word, this is what you should do. Not what I think, but what God says. There's too many people out there saying, I think you need to do that. There are religions that take this verse 23 literally, and you go in a little booth and you say, Father, I've sinned, forgive me. And they forgive you your sins. They can't forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. It doesn't work that way. We're just sinners saved by grace. Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. But I tell you what, God's given me purpose. God's given me His Word. God's given me authority. And if I go out and I do what God does, and people listen, and they do what God says to do, it'll happen. It'll happen. So we're supposed to go out and preach the gospel and ask for people to repent, for the kingdom of God is what? At hand. Message hasn't changed. And so we need to do that. Our responsibility lies with going out and spreading the gospel. And we do that, it's up to them to have faith to believe it or not. But I guarantee you, they'll never do it if no one ever says anything. It's our responsibility to do this. Remember this morning? Talked about Peter. He says, you don't savor the things of God. He says, you're a what? An offense to me. Folks, when we're wandering around meaningless in our Christian walk, not having any sense of direction or purpose, we're not doing what God wants us to do. He's given us purpose. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. He says, on these two things hang all the law and the prophets. Seek me. Do this. I'll take care of the rest. I'll give you peace for joy. I'll give you peace for fear. I'll give you joy for sorrow. I'll give you a purpose in your life that passes the understanding, and you'll do things that you never thought possible before if you just surrender me. I'll give you meaning. You know, everybody, they're searching for meaning. I just want my life to be something. Work for God. Amen. Be His servant. Surrender to Him. And lastly, in verse 22, he says, trade your weakness in for power. It says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive thee the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost hadn't come yet, because he says, I go to my Father and then I'll send the Comforter. He's still here, so the Comforter is there. But he gave them the Holy Ghost. We now know that the Holy Ghost is what? Our power source. Our power source. They receive the power of God. Just as it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but ye shall what? Receive power. That's a promise from God. If you know God as your Savior, if you know Christ as your Savior, you have a relationship with Him, you are following Him, He's going to give you power. It's a promise. It's a promise. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall go out and do building projects. And ye shall go out and run food kitchens. Those are all good things if they're tied to the witness. Amen. But the point here is that it says, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. What are you doing with His purpose tonight, church? What are you doing with His purpose? That's His purpose for us. What? See, we try to solve things man's way. How many like our water situation here in South Texas? You know, it doesn't rain, and then what do? Let's hold on to all that we've got, and let's conserve. Which I totally agree with. I totally agree that we need to be responsible to things. But I'll tell you what. You can't make water. All we can do when it comes to water conservation is try to save it. So we have a little bit, we'll have a little bit more left after we use it. And your yard dies and everything else. And then you know what happens? God sends rain, fills it up, and then we're okay. See, that's God's power. No matter what man tries to do to hold on to something, conserve it, you know, keep from using it, make it precious and everything else, God says, I can handle this. I'll just send you 13 inches of rain one day. That'll fix it. See, I serve a mighty God. He rains down His blessings on us. He says, see if I don't pour you out a blessing that you can't even receive it. See, God's in the business of more. He's in the business. He says, I got this. I know what you need. I know what you need. You need my power, and everything will work. See, when we go on our own, it's easy to fall into sin and difficult to rise to victory. I think everyone in here has tried at one time or another in our Christian walk to try to do right in our own strength. I'm not going to do that ever again. I won't do it. 30 seconds later, there you go. Been there, right? New Year's resolution, I'm not going to do it. January 2nd, how did that go for you on the 1st? See, on our own, we can't do it. But when we have the peace of God, when we have the joy of God, when we understand the purpose of God, He'll give us direction. And we'll understand that we have His power. And then if I realize that the Holy Spirit that's in me is greater than he that is in the world. If I realize that the Holy Spirit which is in me is greater than he that is in the world. If you really, 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 really realize it. Then it will be sin will become more difficult and victory in Christ will be easy. Are we getting it? See, that's what the disciples needed. They didn't need a protection plan. They didn't need home security. They just needed the presence of Christ. And He comes in the midst of all their brokenness and in the midst of all this stuff, and He pops in the room and says, peace be unto you. And they were glad. And then He promises His power. And then He says, I'm going to give you a purpose to go out and evangelize the world. And if they didn't like me, I ain't going to like you. But He says, greater things, greater works than these will you do. That's Easter Sunday. That was His message to the disciples on the evening. My question is, did we hear it? Do you have fear in your life? Give it to God. You know, the Bible says in 1 John, it says, perfect love casteth out. How much fear? All fear. That which is not perfect in love is torment. You can't get your own joy, but God can give you joy. You can come up in your own mind where purpose is for your life, but let God in there and let Him set the purpose. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Has God spoken to your heart tonight? It's time to do business with Him. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask that you'd be with us. Help us, Lord, to trade in our negatives for your positives. Help us, Lord, to realize that we need a relationship with you. Help us, Lord, to realize that we need that relationship to grow daily. Lord, be with this time of invitation. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.